Hello, Voices of Wrestling listener. Dave Ryan here. Have you ever wondered to yourself how many hidden gems are hidden away inside the last years of World Championship Wrestling? Have you ever asked yourself how many tenuous gags can be made about the name Mike Enos? And have you ever thought about what it sounds like for two Irishmen to interpret a very chaotic company through its B-show? The answers to all this and more are just a click away. Check out Days of Thunder every second Thursday on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Here we go!
Listening to the Emerald Flow Show on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode 72 of the Emerald Flow Show. We're a podcast on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. You can follow us on X at Emerald Flow Show. And if you're feeling generous, you can donate to the show at voiceofwrestling.com/donate and listen to us on all of your favorite podcast apps and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. I'm Gerard here with Paul again. Paul, we got a lot to talk to, and I know that you just finished watching a bunch of wrestling, so are you ready?
Yeah, basically. I spent a lot of today watching a lot of wrestling, so it's kind of all that's on my mind at the moment.
We're going to start real quick with Great, which we haven't covered in a while, and all I would say from their most recent show, the only match I watched was Kaito Tamura versus Daimonji So, which I was told wasn't that great. I actually liked it. I thought it was a solid match. I mean, it was just like a little over 10 minutes in a mid-card match, but I thought it was good for what it was. But Paul, we got to preview this ridiculous show at Edion Arena Osaka that's coming up on October 6th. Mm-hmm. I should add that Great is still signing people,
which is absurd. Yeah, we might have a little segment coming up on the next show where that might reveal what we think about the potential future of this promotion.
Yeah, so they signed Riki Aitaka, who is I don't know how old, and then did they sign Kotaro Suzuki?
Yeah, they signed Kotaro Suzuki,
which was a little interesting given his age. I mean, yeah.
He's great. But, yeah. It's not like, do you want to like build around? That's not like, it's also not a draw or anything like that. So it's not like exciting in any way. It's just a very weird thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. So let's just quickly go after over this show. We've got, I don't know if these are actual MMA matches or not. But
I do know that they announced some great MMA matches. Yeah,
because you got Yu Izuka versus Kara Uno, who blast from the past. You got Shrek versus Canton Man and Daisuke Nakamura versus Masaki Takura, right?
Yeah, based on how the first great MMA show went, I have no idea why they think it's a good idea.
And they have them in keep teams doing this because it's like, You got the Tokyo Sabres, which is like Vanguard, which is Masaki Takura, Canton Man, and Kairoa Uno, who's the captain.
Mm-hmm.
And then Team Great, which is Daisuke Nakamura, Hideki, Shrek, Sakini, and Yuizuka.
Yeah, and it's also like, if I'm you, like, why am I doing, like, I embarrassed myself last time. Like,
but these are grappling rules, it says. Back?
Okay, so that won't, so round, if it's not actual shoot fights, then, okay.
No one's going to get super embarrassed, almost, if it is actually, hopefully. Signal, you know. Oh, God. I mean, this is ridiculous. You know, Paul, I was doing some research for something, working on the Observer Hall of Fame piece for a certain wrestler that I will not devolve at this moment. But I was reading some old observers about, have you ever heard of the Ultimate Crush show that New Japan had at the Tokyo Dome?
Which one was that one?
So the main event was Nagata versus Takayama, and the semi-main event was Kobashi versus Chono. But half of the matches on that show were actually
MMA. Oh yeah, when New Japan was basically dying because Inoki got it in his mind that like pro wrestling is over.
Well, like, that
shoot fighting is the future.
Drew, actually, which is also certainly funny to me. So we go next.
Oh, sorry, no. Did you say how many it drew? I was waiting for the number.
It drew legit over 40,000.
Oh, wait, like actually legit, or like it drew over 40,000?
So Dave had it at over 40,000 people and announced 55.
Okay, I mean, fair enough, yeah.
Which was one of those little interesting things I didn't realize going back, because I went through the old observers to see if I could find legit. And there's some in the supposed, I got to maybe do a read, think of this, because I followed it in real time, but there are some exaggerated attendances that still had pretty decent attendance with the numbers that Dave got in the, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Right? Like, but it just died up a
still
bit.
Like, yeah. 10,000 was still like 8,000. Or something like that along those lines, which I thought was very interesting. So I might have to do more digging on that time and see how many actual numbers I can come up from that era of more realistic numbers that Dave had, and sort of maybe think about how we sort of view that era. Because I have there's some great stuff in that era, but I still have very negative feelings towards it.
I mean, it did very nearly kill New Japan. Like,
absolutely. Right. And you also have to remember the semi-main event of that show was Kobashi versus Chono. And it was at Takayama's peak, and even if Nagata was a little tag match, Black Generation International versus Anti-Glee Monsters, Suzuki and Demonji So versus Ryuchi Fire Kawakami and Brass Knuckles June, which is now June Tancho, in a truly ridiculous gimmick. We got T-Hawk versus Takahiro Yamamura. That actually could be good.
That could be good, yeah. Like that, like if you look at that card in general, that's like one of them that I've like, you know what, I think this could be a good match, but yeah, it's not a lot else.
So then we have the Great versus the Ibushi Pro Wrestling Research Institute, Minoru Tanaka and Takanori Ito and Masamoto Ikemoto versus Rika Aitaka, Kota Ibushi, Yukimitsu Takahashi and Kikutaro.
That's the thing, like 2024 Ibushi, right? Even if it is like, even if he's hidden in like a multi-man tag, and it's like, I mean, that's also the thing. It's like, yeah, okay, cool. You did this whole thing, big deal about the Ibushi's going to be on the show, and he's just in this like weird, weird multi-man tag match.
Well, also we have Pro Wrestling World Premium Six-Man Tag Battle, Al Lindemann and Octagon Jr. and Fabi Apache versus Michiko, Chris Ridgeway, and Sam Adonis.
Yeah, that does. I mean, now we're great. It's just really morphing into like the AAA of like D of Japan, basically. Because that's a match like AAA would also book. I mean, yeah, obviously, because there's a bunch of AAA people in there, but like also like just like randomly throwing people together that don't really like, I don't know, don't really have anything to do with each other, really.
So now we got, I'll give some credit to this. We got the G-Infinity Tag Team Championship with the champions, Kaito Ishida and Tetsuya Izuchi, defending against Zachary Wentz and Trey Miguel, the Rascal.
I mean, that should be fun. That one should be really good.
Absolutely. And then, of course, the G-Rex Championship match, Kyler Tamura versus Parker Boudreaux.
Now, this, on the other hand, when I saw this announced, I nearly lost my mind. Like, what the fuck are we doing here? And it also, like, we should mention, like, they're running the bigger hall in, like, Edeon. They're not running the small one. They're running the big one, and they're running with Parker Boudreaux on top.
Well, I don't know if this is actually the main event, because we got to go to the Ledet UWF half.
True.
Sorry. There's only one Ledet. There's only one Ledet UWF match apart from those quote unquote shoot matches. And I think that might be the.
That might be. But still, like, in what is in theory, right? Your top match and who you're running there is a guy that, like, wasn't good enough to be on Dynamite.
Despite his size, which always will get you.
And it's his first match in Japan, and he's only had like how many matches has he had in total? Like under 100, I think.
Yes.
Like, I think he has like a shockingly small amount of matches that he has actually had. Let me just look that up, because now I actually want to know. Like, he has had in total, what is it? So he has had a total of 26 matches.
Yeah.
And, like, most of which come in 2022, when he had 15 matches. So, like, more than half of his matches were 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, what? why? Like, just my only question is, why?
I don't know.
It makes no sense.
Well, I mean, look, he's a monster foreign heel that they can just bring in to feed to Tamer. I mean, that's all it is.
Yeah, but you could pick literally anybody else.
Of course you could. You could have. Who else is there? I don't know. You could have. There's big guy from the God. You could have paid All Japan to have like Cyrus.
Exactly. Yeah. Like Cyrus or someone. I just don't get it, because he just. I don't know. Because again, he's so green, and he's literally being brought in as a complete unknown. Like, how many people, like, realistically in the audience are gonna know who he is? Because it's not like he was super prominent either in WWE or in AEW. And I don't think anybody's watching, like, AAA. And he's only had two matches there anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I mean, it's going to be a mess. And we'll see. I just want to see how Tamura, like, handles it.
If Tamura somehow gets a good match out of him, like, he deserves, like, I don't know, Wrestler of the Year consideration for being, like, the biggest miracle worker in the entire business.
Sure. I'll give him that. And then in the main event, for the Ledet UWF Championship match, Katsuhiko Nakajima versus Masakatsu Funaki. Paul, is it unrealistic to think that Funaki could win?
No, absolutely. I think Funaki will win, yeah.
Oh, you think he will win?
I don't think Funaki wants to drop to Nakajima.
I figured that Nakajima would win, but there was a chance that Funaki could.
I mean, like, because, like, with Funaki, right, the thing is, like, he's, like, another one of those guys that really only loses to guys that he, like, respects.
Well, this is fun.
I don't think, especially in a shoot style match.
Well, Paul, I was going to say, yeah, you see Funaki did a certain job in a certain show we're going to talk about later.
He did?
Yeah, on the Korakuen show for All Japan.
I literally just watched it and I completely slipped my mind.
Davey Boy Smith pinned him.
Oh, yeah, he was.
Which I was like, whoa, what is that all about?
Oh, sorry, actually. I only watched literally only watched the three tournament matches on that show.
Oh.
I actually forwarded straight to the final after the second semifinal. And I actually managed to hit it exactly. I actually just randomly just dragged it where I was like, okay, I'm just kind of going to go like 30 minutes from the end of the file. And I actually hit exactly on, like, spoiler, Ren Ayabe's entrance.
So I thought it was interesting though, it was in a job today. So I don't know. Maybe he's open to doing them.
Yeah. But then again, Davey Boy is also part of that whole, like Bloodsport, like, Josh Barnett crew, right?
That's true. So maybe that's just what it is. But I just thought it was an interesting thing. And so
then again, I actually just looked it up, and he actually did lose to him in the N1 2021 semifinal.
Right.
So it's not like it's unprecedented that he would drop to Nakajima in a singles match.
Yeah. So we'll see, though. It will be very interesting.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm great, I would keep the title on Nakajima.
Oh, for sure.
Like, based on how much this promotion is just also taken over by, like, old shooters, you know?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked if they put it on Funaki instead. And who knows, maybe Nakajima has also already burnt that bridge. That's also always an option, as we've learned.
Yeah, for sure. It's interesting. In some way, it's like it could be the biggest car crash of the year, and it cannot look away.
Oh, yeah. That's why we're reviewing it, right? Like, we dip our toes into great every once in a while. But it's like, yeah, this is such a big show and such a weird-ass car that, like, we're just going to have to review it.
Yeah. So we then move on to Pro Wrestling Noah on September 14th at Tokyo Korakuen Hall in front of 1,391 fans. That's a good turnout, because it was also the hottest angle in the company.
Yeah, I was about to say, if this hadn't drawn at least 1,000 people, I would have been like, yeah, it's over. Kaito is never going to be like any kind of draw. But they drew a good number here, and they built this up well. The only problem is that one of these guys is leaving. So,
yeah, So there's like nothing to build off of this. Okay, so first, we got to talk about this. Deki Odashima debut match. Yu Owada defeated Deki Odashima 80 seconds with the crab hold. This is a really strong debut for Odashima. He was trained by Timon Honda, who was on commentary for this match. Now, Odashima is small. He's like 5'5". He's going to be a junior, but he has skills, this guy.
Yes. No, absolutely. He really is he was like kind of like popping off the screen in a way almost. I mean, I think it helped that he was like in front of like a massive hot Korakuen crowd, and that he was probably doubly motivated with his trainer there. But I think if this is the effort, like if this is kind of the level that we can expect from him and like improvement from this as well, like I think we're looking at a guy that could be like the head of the junior division in like a couple of years down the line.
They should just rocket pack us.
They should. We'll see if they will, because I have some takes as well later when we talk about the like Royal Road final about like the difference between certain promotions.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe they should just rocket pack him, because again, he seems more experienced than other trainees that they debuted. So
Shuji Kondo and Ada defeated Shuhei Taniguchi and Kai Fujimura in 6 minutes and 46 seconds with the Imperial Uno from Ada on Fujimura. Paul, I like this. did you watch this whole show?
Yeah, I watched the whole show.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought this was just a little fun little match because it was like Kondo and Ada being these little dickwads. Like trying to like, you know, outrun and, you know, Taniguchi because he's older and he's bigger, but he's slower, obviously, because of his age. And then beating up Fujimura. It was a lot of fun for what it was. I didn't realize that Fujimura is like, what, 28 or 29 now?
Yeah, he's kind of like Yoan Cho syndrome, where he's like getting to his late 20s. And
yeah, I thought he was still in his like early 20s, maybe 25.
No.
Damn. Okay. So anyway, that was fun. And then Naomi Chimara Fuji, Takashi Sugiura, and Masa Kinomiya defeated Kenno, Alejandro, and Cristobal in 9:40 with the Saito suplex from Kinomiya on Cristobal. Again, this was short and sweet. Mm-hmm. That six-man tag did what it needed to do. And then Cristobal ate the fall, returning. I really dug the Sugiura and Kenno.
Yeah, it does feel awesome.
And then Hiro Todaka Wagner Jr., Galeno Del Mal, and Daga defeated Dragon Bane, Alpha Wolf, and Super Crazy and 10:35 with the Galeno special from Galeno on Crazy. Again, this really delivered. And I got to say, I didn't even notice Crazy was in this match until the end.
Yeah, like I literally remember him like holding up the flag during the entrance. And then the next thing I like remember seeing him in is like getting pinned by Galeno, essentially.
Yeah. And then, I mean, it was a great showcase for Galeno, right? I mean,
yeah. I think that's the goal here right now, because again, my suspicion is still that like Wagner is leaving. So like, they're very much in a mode of like, hey, we got this like big new guy. Like, here's my brother, like time to get my brother over.
Do you think that Galeno is going to stay while Wagner leaves?
Yeah, because like, I think Wagner is very much ready for the next step. I don't think Galeno is like as impressive as he looks. He is still like a lot greener than his brother.
Sure.
Like, I think he can do impressive stuff, but I don't think he's quite there yet in like putting like an actual match together. So yeah, he still needs to learn, but I feel like this is also like the perfect place for him. So I feel like Wagner's going to go wherever he's going to go. And then when like Galeno is like more experience he's going to bring him there as well.
Well, Wagner's going to WWE.
Yeah, most likely. Yeah.
That makes the most sense to me.
It does, it does. My question would be, are they going to unmask him?
Well, that's, yeah, that was my follow-up question. It's very although it's not, I don't know, we'll see.
I mean, it kind of depends, right? Like, I mean, obviously, like, WWE is kind of stupid of taking, like, masks off of people without, you know, building it up, and but whatever, that's a whole other point. But on the other hand, if he got enough genes from his dad, I also kind of get why you would maybe want to take the mask off of him.
Sure.
Just remembering the reaction to everybody when his dad took his mask off. And I don't remember who said it, but basically I saw like one comment that was like, when Wagner took off his mask, it's like there were like lots of women in Mexico that all of a sudden realized that they were dating Dr. Wagner Jr. And there were a lot of women in Mexico that all of a sudden realized that they were not dating Dr. Wagner Jr.
And then we got the Retales 2.0 here with Hayata, Yohei, Tadasuke, and Yuta Kikuchi defeating Amatsuka, Atsushi Kotoge, Hajime Ohara, and Juta Miyawaki in 12:21 when Yohei used the drop kick on Kotoge. Perfectly. Actually, this was a good match for what it was, and I thought they sort of got over Kikuchi well in his first match.
I have to say, though, now that we've seen him a couple of times at Retales, he really, really has that, like, I think it's also getting stronger as well, where he has that, like, we have show at home look. Like, I don't know, I have the feeling it's more pronounced, like, every show, but here's my other hot take. I think he's better than show. Because
sure.
Show, once upon a time, had potential, whereas, like, now, with Yuta Kikuchi, you know?
Not even Show. There's a couple of Best of the Super Juniors there where Show was incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, not lately, you know? Not current Show.
No. And then, for the GHC National title, Madibu Soyo defeated Uka Sasaki in 15:29, jumping DDT. This was, once again, a failed first defense of the title, which was like Hayata 2 with Sasaki beat him. Soya becomes a 13 champion. Obviously, well-deserved. My God, Corkin want this Soya to win this match.
Oh, God. They would have gotten a riot if he hadn't won.
But this is also, I think, and I said this a couple, I think I said this a couple times over the N1, but this was definitely Sasaki's best single.
Yes, no, for sure. Like, I was really impressed with a lot of his performances during the N1, but this was by far like his best singles match. It helped that it was in front of a really hot crowd that just really wanted like Soya to win, but like I think Sasaki also like did his like job here really well, like working over Soya and everything, and then Soya like rallying back, like using the crowd and then just beating him clean and crowd exploding. Yeah, I thought this was a really great match. Like I went 4 stars on this one. Which that's and, like, I think the first time I went there for like Sasaki.
Yeah. And then in the main event, Reho Oiwa, Noah last match. Kaito Kiyomi defeated Reho Oiwa in 27 minutes and 6 seconds with a figure 4 style pinfall. Well, look, apart from the finish looking a little wonky, I liked this match a lot. And I thought it built off well their first match during the N1. Like a little more heated, more brawling. I thought they did a really, if you watch these two matches back to back, I think it tells a really good, and I like a little more than their N1 match. Not to say it was match of the year level, but again, like the 4.25 range.
Yeah, because the N1 match was very much also supposed to be the because that was just after Ogawa announced his retirement, so it was very much a callback to that, right? Yeah. Whereas this one was, yeah, as you said, like a lot more like heated, basically.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed that as well. I would have kind of maybe was hoping that it was gonna be like hit with me a little bit higher than it actually did. I thought it was still a great match. I still went like 4, but I was actually maybe hoping more for something like in a 4.5 range. But again, you know, victim of high expectation. Still a great match, still a really good like send off for Eva. And also like in the days prior to the match, I had kind of talked myself into Oiwa actually winning. Because that would have just been the ultimate Noah cuck move, and luckily they didn't do that.
I'm going to tell you right now, Paul, I sort of almost agree, because there is literally nothing for January 1st in this company that has any legs other than Mark, which is another WWE guy. And then you need something else on top, and that would have been it. Oiwa versus Kiyomiya would have been.
Yeah.
No. Marfuji.
I don't know what it's going to do, yeah.
Whoever. Marfuji versus Cody. No, I don't think so. But Marfuji versus Nakamura. And then, like, you know, Oiwa versus Kiyomiya. Those could have been your top two matches. But so I don't know what they're going to do for the GHC title in Budokan on January 1st.
Worth thinking, right, if Wagner is leaving. Could they maybe do a deal where, like, it's Kaito versus, like, Wagner, and Wagner's basically saying, like, if I lose, I'm, like, leaving Noah, essentially?
Yeah, you could do that, I think.
Because he's, like, front and center for the post as well, Wagner. So I feel like he is going to do something. And my suspicion was still that, like, he was going to be in the final.
Yeah, that would make sense, too. And then, so there's a couple of spot shows, but I don't think they've been uploaded to Wrestling Universe yet, if they were even recorded. But they did upload the Shinjuku Face show. Only 285 fans. This is on the 21st of September. That's not a great number, but like this wasn't a much card. But I just got to say, Kenno versus Daiki Onishima, that was a lot of fun. And it is exactly what you think it was. Galeno Del Mal defeated Yuu Wada. That was also a lot of fun. And the main event of Naomichi Marufuji and Masa Kitamiya defeating Kaito Kimiya and Alejandro, and they went 17:05 with an armlock prison hold from Kitamiya on Alejandro. I thought that was also a very good build-up match.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't sit down and watch the whole show. I'd watch those three matches.
Fair enough. I mean, they also announced like the match with like Masa Kitamiya and Kaito, right?
Well, yeah, I'm just going to get to that here. First, we got on the 28th, this Saturday, they got the Limit Break show, and that has 8-man tag team match. So it's Team Noah, Kotoke, Yone, Saito, and Shiozaki versus Jun Akiyama, Yuki Onaya, Tomomitsu Matsunaga, and Hiroto. We got Kazuyuki Fujita and Yuu Owada versus Shuji Shikawa and Yoshitatsu.
Noah wrestler Yoshitatsu.
Yeah. We got Tetsuya Endo and Yuki Ino versus Kai Fujimura and Kohei Kinoshita. Black Mansell Ray versus the Reeve Mask. I don't know who that is. It's sponsored by the Reeve. It's a company gimmick.
Okay, so could be anyone then. Maybe. Oh man. Okay, but like given like past precedent, right? Could it be the company president?
No. Well. Oh, the Reeve. Yeah, I suppose it could be.
You know, we have historical precedent that actually the guy underneath the mask is actually just the CEO. I don't think it will be in this case because I don't think. Like other people are as crazy as the guy as Mr. I don't remember his name actually.
I can't remember it either, but yeah, the Carbell guy.
Yeah, the Carbellito.
Yeah, Carbellito.
Yeah, right. we're shoot trash for unmasking Carbellito. Yeah, he's actually the CEO of Carbell.
And then what I assume is going to be the opening match: Hajime Ohara versus Yuya Takashika. And then they got a show on Monday the 30th at Shinjuku Face, which has got the GHC Junior Heavyweight Tag Team match. You got Hayata and Yohei versus Kotoke and Ohara. I mean, that's got to be a retained match. But we got some good
especially
news.
Especially since it was pinned Ohara and Kotoke.
Yeah. Oh, you never know with this.
Yeah.
It's so stupid because I can't even believe I'm going to defend this, but I'd rather see Hayata and Yohei, Kotoke and Ohara. We got GLG explodes because we get Jack Morris versus Anthony Green versus LJ Cleary. Also very nice to see that Green and Cleary are back because I was a little iffy on that.
I actually kind of hope that they just tell Jake to go fuck himself and just reform GLG after that match.
Yeah, for sure. We got Kaito Kiyomiya versus Daiki Odashima. I mean, that could be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
We got Manabu Soy and Oka Sasaki versus Wagner and Galeno. Again, pretty good match. We got Marufuji, Segura, Kitamiya, and Iwata versus Daga, Super Crazy, Bane, and Wolf.
I think it's Cleo's losing there.
Yeah. Tadasuke and Yuto Kikuchi versus Junta and Kai Fujimura. That could actually be good. Amaka and Ada versus Alejandro and Crystal Ball. So that card was actually a little better than I thought. Much better than their last effort. And then other stuff that's upcoming. We've got the Progress/Noah/Defy show in Oberhausen.
Yep, I literally have the ticket in my hand.
Do we have a card for that? Because it's not on the Noah website.
Nope. I was about to say there's nothing announced for it, and we're like a week out from the show.
And then on Monday, October 7th, at once again back at Shinjuku Face. We got an elimination match. It's All Rebellion, so Kimia, Keno, Alejandro Cristobal versus Segura, Kitamiya, Uka Sasaki, Kitoge. That could be pretty good. We got Goshi Ozaki, Shuhei Taniguchi, and Hajime Ohara versus Jack Morris, Anthony Green, and LJ Cleary. So I assume that your wish could be coming true, Paul.
We'll see. Yeah.
Manabu Soya and Alpha Wolf versus Wagner and Galena. That's it.
I mean, wasn't there like a hair versus mask match as well with Eita and Dragonbane, wasn't it?
Well, let's see what's on the court. Everything on the Korokin. We've got Kaido versus Masa Kitamiya. We've got Manabu Soya versus Wagner Jr. in a national title match, which, yeah, this is like the kind of we're going to job him out before he leaves vibe type thing.
Yeah, basically.
We got Marufuji Segura defending against Keno and Alejandro, which I think could be good.
Yeah, especially since it's like the other two good people. Well, it's a match excluding Cristobal, so that makes it better.
Yeah. We got Josh Barnett and Uka Sasaki versus Masakatsu Funaki and Kazuyuki Fujita. Look, Sasaki's probably going to eat the fall here, but he really
No, but yeah.
He's one of the old guys.
Yeah, it should be. But, you know, it's Noah.
Then we got
I actually found one match for the Oberhausen show.
What is it?
Riho versus Stephanie Mays for the Progress Women's World Championship.
But not...
That's the only one I found. They announced Kara Noah versus Kenta, but that's for October 27th in London. Mm-hmm. I forgot about this one. Sorry. I actually have to apologize because they have actually announced one really good match.
Okay.
But it's kinda Noah. It's Luke Jacobs versus Timothy Thatcher for the Progress title.
Okay. That could be good.
That could be really good, yeah. But then again, like it's a guy like the women's title matches, like none of them are involved with Noah, and Thatcher's been out of Noah for a while now. So, and then I haven't seen any, like I would obviously assume Taishi Zawa is at least gonna be there, but then they haven't announced any other like Noah talent for that show, really.
And they got Noah's got a show the next day with a bunch of talent.
Yeah, so that makes it difficult. And
I'm not gonna elimination by elimination yet. So not everybody.
It's Hideki Suzuki will at least be on there, hopefully, because he's literally in town.
Yeah. And then we got the Akitoshi Saito last Korakuen match. We had the last match in Korakuen Hall. Mm-hmm. We got Akitoshi Saito, Shiro Koshinaka, and Akira versus Goshi Ozaki, Muhammad Yonhei, and Atsushi Kitoge. And honestly, Paul, this could be a good match.
Oh, yeah, it could be. Like, again, Akira is actually the best guy on his team. Like, I think Akitoshi Saito, again, can still go to some degree. But what we've seen from Akira, I'm like, yeah, no, this could actually be really fun.
Yeah. So that's Noah. And before we begin into the more recent All Japan, I just realized when I saw Shiro Koshinaka, I forgot to make we forgot to talk about the Koshinaka 45th anniversary show on our last episode because that had already happened and I had watched I'd only watched the semi-main and the main event, and the main event was Kento and who else versus like Fujinami, Leona, and someone else I can't remember, but that was actually a really fun match because Kento was getting heat for being addictive.
I mean, I would say Kento has been healing it up a lot more recently.
He has.
I know I've been predicting this for a while now, but like, I really, there's especially one match that we're going to talk about where I got that feeling.
Yeah. And then, of course, in the main event, it was a comedy match, but it was a lot of fun. It was Shiro Koshinaka, Yuma Aoyagi, Raisuke Taguchi, and Kengo Mashimo. First year Tokyo, Japan, Seigo Tachibana, Shitara Shino, and Suwama in 1924. So Yuma Aoyagi came out looking like he was a member of Heisei Ishingun or something.
Mm-hmm.
It was, top two matches are worth a watch. Oh, it was Kento Miyahara, Musashi, and Seki Yoshioka versus Leona Takaiwa. Mm-hmm. Hito Takaiwa and Fuji. So just watch the top two match.
That's okay. Now that I think about it, I think I actually did watch it because I do remember Yuma and Nagi.
Yeah. So now we move on to All Japan more proper. And we start the World Road Tournament in Nagoya at Nagoya International Conference Hall in front of 817 fans, which, well, I don't know, since one of the matches had to be, since Suwama got, I don't know if Suwama's match was, but he got pulled off and replaced Yuki Miyamoto. But 817, not bad, but they can, they often do over 900.
Yeah. I mean, and they even put a title match on there, but, and the Triple Crown champion was in the main event. So I would say it's a little bit disappointing, but nothing too major.
Yeah.
Still the opening round for a tournament that historically doesn't exactly draw well either.
Well, they usually put the finals in this building.
Yeah, I mean, the finals true for the, but like I think like other shows for this tournament generally don't.
But I mean, in Nagoya at the International Conference Halls where they usually have the finals.
Yeah, 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 for sure.
So maybe Nagoya felt they got shafted.
Oh, that's what. Yeah, actually, yeah, they don't get a lot. So I kind of get that feeling there. Yeah.
So for the All Asia Tag Team titles, Musashi and Seki Yoshioka defeated Kuroshi of Tokyo Japan and Sego Tachibana in 15-22 with the Neta Nichiru for Musashi on Tachibana for the fourth defense. I don't think I like this as much as Abe and Tachibana's challenge for the titles, but it was still solid. I mean, look, Musashi and Yoshioka have been very good All Asia Tag, which I think is kind
of cool. I mean, they have gotten a pretty decent reign, like by the standards of this title.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. But I think we'll get to that in a moment, but I think it's coming to an end.
But then again, you know, with this title, it's literally a coin flip every single time.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Let's just skip the mid card and go to I did watch this whole show, but I did not do for all the other shows. But, so Joe Revan defeated Yuko Miyamoto in 9-19 with a diving knee drop. Perfectly good, solid 9-minute match. Mm-hmm. I mean, look. I like Redman. He is a perfectly solid, if not spectacular wrestler. Mm-hmm. You know, I like him for what he brings, and I'm glad he's back.
No, I mean, that's the thing you can really like say about Joel Redman. Like, he is incredibly solid. Like, it's quite literally like the one criticism I have is obviously like he doesn't really like ever like put in amazing performances. Like, he has a very like low ceiling. But he also has an incredibly high floor. Like, there's not a lot of, like, variance. Like, essentially, he's like, you know, that restaurant where, you know, they make perfectly acceptable food. Like, you're never going to walk out of there and be like, ah, I just had an amazing meal. But you also always know when you go in there, you're never going to be disappointed either. And that's basically Joel Redman as a wrestler.
Well, Redman's never been put in, like, in All Japan in a big main event. Either,
but again, he's also never shown, like, you know, the ability that like, I think there's a reason why he's never been put in that position too.
Fair enough. And then in the big upset of round one, Dan Tevra defeated Shitaro Shida with 13:40.
So I said I'll crash watch the entire tournament today. I didn't actually. I watched this show like 2 days ago. And I watched it while wearing my like Shitaro Ishino shirt as Dan Tamer is pinning, I'm like, oh, this was a terrible mistake I've made here. The thing is, obviously I already knew this was happening, but it just made the disappointment even worse.
I mean, I enjoyed the match.
Oh no, it was a really good match, but I'm also like, oh man, yeah. It's like, I think we said this many a times, right? But I feel like now it really is over. Like, it's just, it's done. It's so over. It's the most over it's ever been. Like, if he's getting pinned by Dan, and then he's his tag partner as well, and we can't even be sure that, like, Dan will be the lost post in that team.
No, we can't.
Yeah.
Oh, well. And then in the main event, Ryoki Honda defeated Yuma Iwaraki in the final event. Paul, again, I don't know what's going on with Yuma, but this again was a solid but like match that failed to reach the next level. I think the matches last year in the Royal Road and then Honda's subsequent Triple Crown Challenge were much better.
Yeah. No. It's at this point, like, we have like a bit more of a sample size here where it's like it's not quite clear. Like, I also can't really put my finger on it. What is missing really from, like, you know, like, why the matches don't hit in the same way as well.
Yeah.
It's just, it's like some sort of like energy missing, despite the fact that he's the champion. So
yeah,
it's very odd. Like, almost like, like, for me, like, for example, Honda was like the better worker in this match, which shouldn't necessarily be. Not that Honda is bad, but like, in theory, you'd think that Yuma is still the better one, but I didn't really feel that that was the case in this match.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's funny because we were just talking about it in the All Japan channel on Discord, right? And it's just like, well, we don't know. And people are talking about it. It's like, well, is he expected to be carrying the matches more in a different way than he used to, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But it's like, no one can really, truly just put their entire finger on it, right?
Yeah.
I don't think this is some kind of like disaster or anything. Look, if I had to bet, Aoyagi will adjust out, he will adjust accordingly, sort of kick ass again.
It's not like they're bad, right? It's not like the matches are bad.
No, the matches aren't bad either. They're just they just don't quite get to those heights that they used to, and they're a little dry like in the first half and everything like that. Look, there was a long good like 5 years where every time that Aoyagi was handed an opportunity, he stepped up and seized it and he crushed it. So I still think that he can do that. I wouldn't panic too much at this point, but let's see where we are in a couple months.
I'm going to be very curious with, you know, the next title challenge, what Yuma will be able to do with that person.
For sure. Yeah. Well, there's also the question of, is Yuma holding this title past December 31st?
I don't think so. Yeah, I think he's losing it there.
And then we move on to the 15th of September at X City Hamamatsu in front of 505 fans. Mm-hmm. And in the tournament match, we got Cyrus defeating Jun Saito in 10:55. Okay. You know what, Paul? I think Cyrus would have better matches in this tournament, but I still like this match. I thought it was solid. I was impressed how these guys kept moving for 10 minutes and did not do nerve holds, did not do the classic big guy nerve holds in the middle of this. So, you know, this is a good like 3.25-star match. Very solid. And I got to say, I know Dylan is listening. I'm sorry. You were right. Cyrus has been Japan. I'm turning a corner on Cyrus. Okay. I really am.
This definitely exceeded my expectations. I will say Cyrus had a better match in this tournament with a very similar person.
Yes.
So I will say that, but yeah, I watched this one as well, and I was like okay, this definitely like was above where I thought it would be. And as you said as well, like I was kind of impressed with like the cardio that both men actually showed, because that's definitely been a struggle for Cyrus, but he kept up here.
Does Cyrus look like he dropped a little weight?
It might be that he's like doing a bit more cardio, and that's why he's like dropped a bit of weight, and that's why he is actually able to go like, you know, 10 minutes now. Yeah. Whereas previously you get past 6 minutes and it's a struggle.
Now, to be fair, I was very down on Cyrus's singles matches because I have enjoyed him in the Real World Tag League the last couple times he's, especially the year when it was like Tsuji and Cyrus.
But you were also right with that, right? With the criticizing the singles performances, because they were just all kind of the same match with like no development there. Whereas this one felt different.
Yeah, definitely. And then main event in round one, we had Kento Miyahara defeating Hideki Suzuki in 21 minutes with the shutdown German suit. Paul, I had high expectations. This is a match I really wanted to see. These guys, and this is on a VOD show, so you're in front of 500 people, not even live. They wrestled like perfectly good, solid wrestling. A bunch of let's slap some holds on Kento in the middle of this. And, you know, so Kento could work the crowd for sympathy and go to the finishing, like 3.5-star match, but disappointing at the same time.
Yeah.
But also, I was sort of surprised that Kento won.
Maybe they felt like they couldn't literally like drop out both Yuma and Kento, but I think it made sense because of, you know, what happened then in the next round. I think it made like what happened in the semifinal. I think it made sense like why Kento moved on, because I think that was a bigger sculpt to get than for like Honda to beat Hideki Suzuki.
And
but otherwise, I agree.
And you also wanted Kento's name on that court.
Yeah. That too. But otherwise, I agree. Like, this was very much like a house show, like a complete house show main event. Just, some exciting stuff, but otherwise, it's very much like work the crowd. Don't bump too much, which, fair enough. And then you go for the finish, and acceptable match, but nothing special. I assume if you were there in the crowd, it was probably a blast. Like, having been to like shows where people work this kind of style as well can be very entertaining if you're there in person.
Oh, the crowd is training for Kenta when he was in the
world.
Obviously.
I mean, I assume it's probably similar to like the perspective of people that watched like the Anzai versus Fuji match on VOD, where like that definitely probably didn't translate the way it did like if when you were there in person, where like in person it was like one of my favorite matches this year.
Mm-hmm. And then so we go to Osaka, Tsurumi Ryokuchi, Hanaku Memorial, or Hanaku Memorial Hana Mizuki Hall.
Say that three times fast.
Yeah. It's an interesting venue because it's not where they usually go. It's not like Eddie on number two type thing. I mean, that's a decent turnout for what this was.
I dubbed it the truck venue.
Oh, yeah.
Was that just a ring truck?
I assume.
Did they literally drive the ring truck into the arena?
So, PWF World Junior Heavyweight title. Mr. Saito Noriki Doi defeated Hikaru Saito in 1355 with the Samson Clutch. Mm-hmm. First third defense of the title. Oh, Paul, I don't know. I mean, this wasn't bad. This wasn't great either.
Yeah.
Especially, it's going to rub some people the wrong way because Doi wrestled in, what was it called? The Virgin Killer or something?
Yeah, the Virgin Killer sweater, which is thing that Hikaru Saito often does on like smaller shows.
And then Sato rolled out of the ring. See, I thought it started well, even though Doi was doing the gimmick. But then when Sato like rolled out of the ring and donned his own Virgin Killer, then okay. And then like the final was them just like doing standing switches, like a million standing switches, and then like getting his Samson Clutch. But you know, I can't call it horrible either. But
no,
come on.
Also, I have to say, unfortunately, Alan Fael, I think I am off the Noriki Doi Wrestler of the Year train again.
It's only one match.
I mean, it is only one match, but like you have to have like very consistent output. So I mean, I can be back on there, like if this match with Dan delivers, because I also feel like why they did this was because then Dan came out and was like, "What the fuck are you guys doing? Like, let's have a serious wrestling match next."
Yeah. And so we get to the tournament. We got Rei Saito defeating Kumarashi in 1309 with the powerbomb. Lots of fun. I thought these two worked well. As I said on our X/Twitter thing, is Rei Saito the best big man in the business right now?
I would say so. I mean, especially with like his next match.
Who else is a good big man? Who wrestles consistently?
Who wrestles consistently, yeah.
Like people would be like, oh, Big Bill is really good.
But exactly. How often does he actually wrestle?
Yeah.
And it really wrestles like a big man style as well. That's the other thing, right? Yeah, I'm really kind of struggling to think of anyone because there's obviously like other like tall guys, but none of them really like wrestle like a big man either.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't comment. Yeah, I think it's Rei. Yeah, I don't think it's even particularly close.
Well, there's an interesting comp in Calvin Tankman, but Calvin Tankman wrestles like a power wrestler. He doesn't really necessarily even though he's a big guy, whereas Rei wrestles like a bear. Credit to Superman, the first person I saw pointing that out. But it's like he wrestles like a. Whereas
I mean, I guess like Walter.
I don't know how to. Does skinny Walter count as a big man?
Ah, fuck yeah! I forgot that he's skinny though. Yeah, no.
Anyway, point is, Rei Saito is the best big man.
He is.
I think that's fair to say. Next match: Davey Boy Smith Jr. versus Hokuto Omori, or defeated Hokuto Omori in 10:45 with the Bulldog Bomb. Paul, I gotta say. Mm-hmm. They started this match, they shook hands at the beginning, shockingly enough, and they just wrestled the match. Hokuto didn't do anything fine. I can't call this a great match or anything, but this is a perfectly solid little match.
Yeah, I thought there was going to be so much bullshit in this match, and then that just
I did too.
Didn't happen.
No, and Omori got a decent amount of offense in.
Yeah, especially since Hokuto-gun was like basically like ringside for both of the both matches, right? Because they were already there for like Kumarashi.
Yeah, yeah.
I will also say like again, a match that exceeded my expectations, didn't blow me away, but I was like, oh, this could be horrible because they're probably gonna do like a bunch of interference, and they didn't. So kudos.
Yeah. And then main event, Randai Abe defeated Yuma Anzai in 2024 with the Death Roulette. I would say it's maybe the third best match of the tournament.
Mm-hmm. In total or up to this point?
Oh, in total.
In total. Oh, okay. Interesting. Interesting.
No, no question. Best matchups.
I might actually be putting it fourth, but I can see where, like, yeah, you would put it third. Yeah.
No, but up to this point, because the last match of round one, it was definitely the best match of round one.
Oh yeah, in round one, it was absolutely by far the best match. It wasn't even close. Yeah.
Sure. I thought Anzai was great, and I thought Ayabe was pretty good too for what I was expecting of him. Although I would say that Ayabe would get even better, but we'll talk about that in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
So we go to the second round. It should keep a first ring. Okay, Ray Saito defeated Cyrus at 10:51 with the eyes bind. This rock.
Yeah. So this was actually my third best match of the tournament.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah.
Foral was also watching this match. And yeah, I mean, it was just two big guys just fighting and running into each other and brawling.
Yep.
Got it ruled. It
did the Fry Takayama spot, which just got Chinkiba just popping like crazy.
Oh, yeah. Cyrus, you really have taken a step forward.
Yeah. And again, it wasn't a sprint, right? Because when they like did that like fiery start, it was going to be like, oh, okay, this is going to be like 4 minutes or whatever. And like, no, they had a full match in there and everything. And they kept up the pace as well as they could.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And then Ren Ayabe defeated David Boy Smith Jr. in 1557 with a death roulette and a big upset, I thought.
I was shocked when this happened.
Yeah. Well, this is when it became clear, like, okay, this guy's Ayabe could be going play. But I thought it was very solid, right? Like, look, Smith can be dry even if he is technically competent, and Ayabe has, well, we'll talk more about Ayabe's strength, but I thought it good, like 3.5-star match.
I think what helps Davey Boy, right?
Yeah.
Because previously, I think what he always struggled with, either he was like in a promotion where everybody was like a lot larger than him, like WWE.
Yeah.
Or he was in a promotion where everybody was like a lot smaller than him.
Yeah.
Whereas now he's like in there with a lot of people that are like roughly like, or either like only slightly smaller or like about the same size as him.
Well, it's funny, Paul, because did you see the reviews that he got for the CMML Grand Prix?
Oh, yeah. But people are like, he should retire.
Yeah. Like I saw it from multiple people like, oh, he stunk in that.
I'm like, I don't know. I think he's been good in All Japan.
But I mean, I didn't see the CML Grand Prix yet. I have so much CML to catch up on anyway, but the matter is, I mean,
he's also not really a guy that I feel vibes well with Lucha, right?
Yeah. And he's mixed in MLW.
Yeah. But I mean, it's MLW. you know?
Where everyone wrestles at a 3.5-star peak.
Exactly. The only one that seemingly exceeds there is Kenta.
Yes. And then we got Kento Miyahara defeating Joel Redman in 1429 with the pinfall. Like, is it a Japanese like World Cup holder or a cradle?
I think so.
Anyway, I mean, this is like a Kento match where it was like, you know, Redman like doing the technical stuff, Miyahara trying to fight back, and then Miyahara ultimately surprising him. It was solid. I liked it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say it was better than the match with Hideki Suzuki.
Yes,
I like this one more. But again, that's what I mean. Like, because this was in there with Kento, right? So it was still a very good match, but I also felt like I don't think the match could have been much better than it actually was.
Well, can I just say, though, this had the most telegraphed spot that did annoy me, even though I did generally like this match. But I'm sorry, but Kento gets on the turnbuckle. He's eating shit, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's the same with Ric Flair, you know? Yeah. What are you even going to do from there? What is your actual move you do?
Kento gets on the second like rope, jumps off and just eats a super kick from Redman. You're like, oh yeah, of course that was gonna happen. What the fuck?
Yeah.
And Kendra didn't even do like any pretense that he was actually trying a move other than just jumping off the second turnbuckle.
Yeah, like he could have at least like motion, you're like gonna do like a double axe handle, or I don't know. Yeah. It was just literally I'm jumping so I can be caught with a move.
And then in the main event, Ryuki Honda defeated Dan Tambor in 25-23 with the final event to make it into the semis. And this is was my second best match in the tournament, and again the best match of the tournament up to this point. It was awesome, and they just, you know, I mean, built up brawl, lots of lariats, you know, and obviously, you know, I think most people expected Honda in the crowd to win, but of course Dan Tanner got that underdog heat and everything. It was awesome.
No, I this was actually my favorite match of the tournament. I thought this was awesome, just like the physicality of it, just both men just like laying into each other. I think this is Dan's advantage of like where he's like, him and Honda aren't like too far apart where it looks unbelievable. So I feel like it really like did well, where like it just felt that these guys were like kind of on a similar level in terms of like strength and everything. And yeah, they just like beat the shit out of each other. And I thought this was awesome. I went like 4.25 on this one. And yeah, to me, like best match in the tournament. The one that I assume was your favorite match of the tournament wasn't far behind. So
yeah. And then the final show at Corrigan Hall on September 22nd in front of 1,473 fans, Super No Vacancy Full House, and their biggest Corrigan attendance of the year. Oh, that's quite the accomplishment.
No, that is impressive. Yeah. This
tournament. Yeah.
Exactly. With that main event. I mean, you didn't know what the main event was at the time, obviously.
Well,
but still.
Look, it was, I mean, it was going to be Ayabe and Rei Saito on one side, even if Kento was going through, right?
Yeah.
But people would have loved Kento versus Rei. I mean, I want Kento versus Rei now, because I feel like those two could have an incredible match given where Rei.
But I also feel like the crowd wasn't disappointed with what they got either, right?
No, they weren't. Yeah. So we started with the Actress Times, and it was Sakura Mizushima and Natsuki defeated Ayano Irie and then Nene Arahata in 11:26, when Natsuki used the cutie special on Arahata. Paul, I actually thought these actress girls matches have now settled into like a pretty solid little nice little opener. They started off horrible, and then they improved, and then they all went to Marigold, and I thought they were going to be horrible again, but they now settled into a nice little pattern.
Fair enough. I saw them come out to do the same dance they always do, and I fast forwarded to Kento Miyahara's entrance.
Well, you know, it makes sense.
Look, I mean, this was less me not wanting to give them a chance and more I have no time. Because at that point, it was like 6 p.m.
Sure. And then, so semifinals of the tournament. Ryuki Honda defeated Kento Miyahara in 11:06 of the final event. I mean, this was a very good match. The only thing that was, I would say, the biggest weakness is only 11 minutes, right? Because it was like, it actually started at a normal Kento Miyahara, like 25-minute match pace. And then all of a sudden, they just went
to the finish, yeah. But I feel like this is the one, like, Kento was, like, acting the most heelish, right?
Right.
Because he had, like, the whole, like, count-out spot on the outside and everything. With Kento just, like, on the inside, just being like, yeah, count him out. I'll advance by count-out. I don't care. So, at like, all the, like, little things that he did to, like, disrespect Honda and all of that. Also, okay, I have to do also, like, a weird observation. So, on that count-out spot as well. So you remember kind of like when Honda was like climbing back in, right? And Kent and they did like the whole sequence after that. And then Wada was like trying to climb back into the ring.
Yeah.
And for some reason, when he like tried to climb back into the ring, my brain went to, oh my God, is Wada like going to like grab Honda's leg? Is he turning heel? I don't know why I went there. Maybe I was just delusional at that point, but... yeah, for some reason that's where my brain went, but yeah, but again, I felt Kento really like healed it up in this match to really, which again made sense, right? Because Honda was going to go through, so you really want like the crowd like hyped up for him to win.
So then we go to semifinal. Ren Ayabe defeated Rei Saito in 11:59 with a modified Dragon Sleeper that is now called Iron Maiden. Paul, find a wrestler in Japan that does not listen to heavy metal. Can you do
only Japanese wrestlers?
Yeah.
No, okay. Then no, I give up. No, wait. I can tell you exactly, and we don't have to leave this promotion. It's Yuma Aoyagi.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he doesn't seem like a metal. Sure.
I mean, literally, Ryuki Honda made fun of him after he beat him by dancing to his like pop song.
Okay, I forgot to talk about that. What do you think of that? Do you think that's Honda being too ridiculous?
A little bit, but also it was very obvious that he was just mocking. It went on for way too long, though.
Yes.
And you could see that Honda also was out of ideas after like 30 seconds. And they did it for 2 minutes straight. Like felt like they were ribbing him by the end.
Yeah. And then, so I watched this whole show. Then we had the Shitaru Shino, Dan Tamura, Ryo Inoue, and Kurosu Tokyo Japan, and Secretary Japan, who Musashi, Seki Yoshioka, Joel Redman, Hikaru Sato, and Fuminori Abe in 99 when Tachibane pinned Abe. So we're going back to that for the Gayor TV titles.
Mm-hmm.
Sato brothers,
you know, I'm not against, you know. I mean, they're running it back a lot this year, but also all of the matches have been great, so I really cannot blame them.
No. Saito Brothers vs. Hokuto Army. Hokuto Omori, Kuma Arashi, Cyrus, and Cyrus defeated Jun Saito, Mr. Saito, Naruki Doi, and Senor Saito in 8:23 when Omori pinned Jun after a frog splash. Paul, Omori got up there and crossed himself on the top rope as he was right before he delivered the frog splash. So he got right back up and delivered the frog splash to get the win. And I thought when he did that, man, that's like when he crossed himself on that top rope like that at that big moment. That's just pure big Hokuto, is it not?
Yes, it very much is. Like, Hokuto's biggest enemy is Hokuto Omori.
Yeah. And you know, I do like Hokuto Gun, or you know, when they're not doing stupid shit, right? Like,
They're really fun goobers. Like, they're not like a serious threat or anything like that, but they're like very fun, like undercard goobers that are like, you know, like that will beat some people, but also if you want to have the crowd be happy, like you just beat these guys and it's not really bad or anything like that.
Exactly. I mean, people are like, oh, what happened to Hokuto Omori? I don't think clearly not as good in the ring as all those other guys.
No, but there's a spot for him, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I agree. You need someone to do stuff in the video.
Yes, because this promotion is still incredibly thin. So you need ditch diggers too. And Hokuto Omori is a great ditch digger.
Look, this guy has been in the business, I think, only a couple months difference than Ryuki Honda. And Honda has lapped him.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And I think the other performer in the main event has also passed him by from work rate. I don't think Hokuto Omori has had a singles match as good as Ren Ayabe had. And do you think so?
Trying to think. This match with... No. Because it's not like he hasn't had good singles matches. But I don't think he's had any match that was as good as the main event, as the final here. Yeah.
I think that's
fair to say. Yeah.
Yeah.
And look, we're seeing all of that. And yet, you know, Hokuto also hasn't been around for that long. And he still has done so much more like things of note compared to other people in other promotions that like made their debut around the same time.
He's moved faster than some Noah people.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, again, we were just talking about Kai Fujimura. I'm pretty sure Kai and Honda, like, they're both like some of the last like Wrestle One trainees, right? So I think they kind of made their debut around the same time.
Well,
Debuted
in October, November of 2019. He was like just a couple months before Atsuki and Dan.
And Kai Fujimura made his debut 2nd of July 2019.
Oh, yeah. That's crazy.
So he's been around a couple of months longer than them. I mean, he's still Black Tights young boy.
Embarrassing.
Yeah.
Really. And then the Suwama return match. Suwama, Hideki Suzuki, and Davey Boy Smith defeated Yuma Aoyagi, Masakatsu Funaki, and Yuma Anzai 9:32 with the Bulldog Bomb from Smith on Funaki, where he talked about the result. I enjoyed the match, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Big surprise there. But I guess it's not that surprising that Funaki was pinned by Smith.
Yeah, I was just surprised that, you know, because they very often in Japan do the whole thing of like the returnee losing the return match. But I get why maybe they didn't want to do that here. And also, but you know what? I mean, we say that like that Funaki was willing to take the pin, but then you also look at like throughout this match and it's like, who else, right?
Yeah, that's also true. But you still have to get Funaki to agree to it in the first
place. It is true, obviously. But it's also literally like he's very obviously the lowest guy on the totem pole if you actually look at it objectively. It's just, yes, you have to get through like the old shooter like stubbornness of not wanting to get pinned. But like objectively, he's like the small, like the least star, like, smallest star. Is that a fair thing? I don't know if that's a thing, a phrase, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, exactly. I thought Futaki might be popping up more in All Japan, but that doesn't, for some, I was just like randomly here and he hadn't been here in a while, so I'm like, well, maybe they're gonna use him, because of course his Noah participation is also slowed to, he's only got the shooter tag match coming up anyway. Odo finals, Ren Ayabe defeated Ryuki Honda in 24-39 with the death roulette. Paul, I really did think that this was the best match of the tournament. Not a perfect match. I did still go 4.25, but this is the best match of Ren Ayabe's career, and better, like we said, than any match that Hokuto Omori has ever had. Sorry, Hokuto. But it's true. I mean, look, I thought Ren was laying it in here more than he usually does. Now, can he still lay it in a little more, even more? Yes. I don't disagree. Can he emote more? Yes. And also, at the end of the match, when like Aoyagi got in there with the mic, you could tell that Ren was nowhere near as good on the mic and comfortable on the mic as Aoyagi.
Nope.
You know, I don't know if you saw that at all.
He's still very awkward when he actually has to cut promos.
You don't have to speak Japanese to feel.
No.
But you know what? Ayabe still made a huge stride forward in this tournament.
Yeah.
And for a guy that they're going to push no matter what, because he's 6-7 inches tall or about 200 centimeters for you metric people, he's always going to get a push. And I mean, I think mostly he's living up to it. But no, I don't think he has any chance of beating Yuma Aoyagi for the Triple Crown, nor should he. I think that would be a mess.
No. No, absolutely not. But I mean, we were calling for one another. We were like, yeah, we think that Ayabe has like shown development and everything, but we were really like kind of waiting for that like big step up, right? Like that's what we were calling for as well. And I think that he definitely showed that in this tournament. Still obviously stuff, room to develop, but like I think overall just took massive leap forward. I think he knew that this is like his big like breakout chance, and I think he like took it by the throat. He really like stepped up. I also have to say Honda, for me, the absolute MVP of the tournament.
For sure.
I don't think, to me at least, it's not debatable. Just all of the matches that he had were like good to great. I love this match as well. I thought they played off of it really well, that like these two are stable mates. And I mean the tag team partners now, right? Because we've actually kind of transitioned away from New Period, and actually Ayabe and Honda are the team now, and Anzai and Hayato are the other LP that tag team now. So yeah. I think they played off of that dynamic incredibly well, where it's like, yeah, we like respect each other because we're partners, but also like this is a competition, so like I'm just going to do whatever I can to win this match, because I want to win this competition. I want to be the best. I thought that worked really well. I love that story. And just the other thing as well, right? Like that they main evented this tournament with like two guys that are still pretty young, that are still relatively like they're getting there, but I would still call them like not super experienced, right? Because I looked it up, like the combined experience of these two guys is 10 years combined. Yeah. You know, like not individually, combined experience is 10 years, and Honda is still 24 years old. Ayabe is 27 years old. Like when else in Japan have you seen a major tournament be main evented by guys that young and that inexperienced, and it delivered?
Yeah, exactly.
So massive risk by All Japan, but I think it pissed off. Paid off.
Yeah, pissed off, paid off. Yeah. But yeah, look, I always got this. Honda's probably getting the title shot in Sapporo when they go on that Hokkaido tour at the end of October again this year.
Yep.
So, you know, and because they're only doing one show in Sapporo, they're not doing that double header again. they did last year. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's the rest of the year for Aoyagi, and we'll see what happens on December 31st. But, Paul, we have the Real World Tag League team.
And yes.
Not only do we have the Real World Tag League, but we got a new format they haven't done since, like, 2016. We got two blocks, and we got on the final night at Corkin Hall in December 6th, 7th, or 8th. I can't remember. I don't have it right in front of me, but it's early. It's going to be semis and the finals on that Corkin show. So it's 1A versus 2B and, you know, 1A2 versus, you know, or however it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So they don't. So actually, for once, they don't have to engineer a draw to get a final or have a really obvious final setup as the main event of the last tour show, which gives it away the way the tournament is going to go. So, yeah. Again, I liked it that it didn't have a formal final, but also it just always kind of screwed with the booking a lot. So I like that they actually went for, like, let's just do a formal final.
Yeah. So, A Block, Saito Brothers, Musashi and Seki Yoshioka, Yuma Anzai and Rising Hayato, Shotaro Shino and Dan Tabra, Hokuto Mori, Kuma Rashi, Daisuke Sekimoto and Kengo Mashimo, which I think is great. And then and XX, Paul. Who is X in XX?
I feel like one of them is going to be Shuji Ishikawa.
Is the other Black Venser Ray?
Maybe. I mean, obviously, people have been throwing around, well, XX, that's the thing that Katsuhiko Nakajima always has on his gear now, but
yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know. I could see Ishikawa and Venser Ray.
That definitely would be like, I mean, you literally bring the year like full circle if you do that, right?
Yeah. And then B Block. Kendo Miyaha and Davey Boy Smith Jr., Ryuki Honda and Ren Ayabe. We got Kiroshio Tokyo Japan and Sego Tachibana. Cyrus and Hartley Jackson. Paul, Lord Crew had teased that he would be teaming with Hartley Jackson, but that didn't happen. And actually, I don't think you can discount X and XX being foreigners either, actually.
So you think it could be like... But then if it's like a Lord Crew, why wouldn't you just announce him?
I don't know. Yeah, but...
I mean, maybe there's a holdup with visas.
Yeah. Do you think X and XX could be foreigners?
Or one? I mean, it could be, but it would be like have to be someone that like there's a reason why you keep a missed. Like unless it's visa issues and you literally don't want to announce them because you don't know if you can get them into the country.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it would have to be someone where it's actually worth it to be like, oh, we actually would get a pop out of the crowd when you announce the participants.
And then we have, of course, Suwama and Hideki Suzuki, the team that just won't go away. Yuma Aoyagi and Fuminori Abe.
Yep, that's... I'm really curious about that one. intrigued.
Hikaru Sato and Yuko Miyamoto. And Paul, Baka no Jidai, which is like Suwama and Hideki are now a faction, and Sato and Miyamoto are also... And I don't know if that supersedes Evolution.
I mean, maybe we can finally say RIP Evolution. Like, that was a hell of a run. Like, that faction was around for 10 years.
Yeah.
But well, then again, we already buried Evolution previously, and it came back anyway, so who knows?
Yeah. Nextreme is actually dead, though.
Nextreme is actually dead. Yeah, Nextreme is just actually dead. So, what I'm curious, though, is, like, I mean, I kind of like, you know, with Sato, I'm happy Sato's in there, but I would have preferred if we would have just gotten, you know, Yankee to Kenju instead. And same with Yuma Aoyagi and Fuminori Abe, but I also would have rather had Astronauts. So.
Of course. But politics in the way. But I mean, thank God. But finally, after an absence, we have some W talent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. But that makes it even more where it's like, you know, could have also booked, if you get Big Japan guys again, if like whatever like disagreement there was previously seems to have finally been removed, maybe could have gotten Takuya Nomura. But you know what? I'm happy that like it seems like All Japan is like finally ending. It's like isolationist stance because they do need these guys to like fill out the cards.
Is it All Japan's isolationist stance or All Japan has put themselves in an isolationist stance?
Yes, like, no, that's more what I was saying was like,
yeah,
because certain people in the promotion lost their mind towards the end of last year, I think is why they got there. But I feel like he's also regained his sanity now and has been like, I think he's actually been actively working to like repair relationships. And I think that's paying off now.
So on this show, I'm going to October 12th in Saitama at the Gaiota Green Arena, main arena. So we've got things of interest. We've got Yuma Aoyaki, Kento Miyahara, Davey Boy Smith, and Musashi versus Ren Ayabe, Rising Hado, Ryuki Honda, and Yuma Anzai. That's actually a pretty good match. We got Suwama versus Ryo Inoue, which is actually I want to see.
Ooh, actually, yeah. I mean, it's going to be a swash, but it could at least be fun.
We got Kurosio Tokyo Japan and Sego Tachibana versus Cyrus and Jack Kennedy.
So will they maybe actually for once do like the thing where like Jiro actually like sneak attacks Cyrus during his entrance rather than the other way around?
That could be very possible. I could see that. And then for the World Tag Team titles, we got Jun Seto and Rei Seto, the Seto brothers versus Hokuto Morton and Kuma Arashi. And Paul, I actually think this could be a good match.
Yeah, this could be really fun, like especially with Kuma in there and everything. They're just kind of going to do like some big meat slapping. So again, we've been saying like the one thing I will also say before, because we've kind of been ragging a bit on like Hokuto in terms of like singles matches, but he is a genuinely really good tag worker.
Yes, he's had some great tag matches. I think his best tag matches have been better than his best in question.
Yeah, by far. I don't think it's close.
Remember that one that tag match? Was it the Settles versus like him and Minoru Suzuki?
Yeah.
Last year, and that was like shockingly good.
Yeah, and like all of his matches with Nakajima as well.
Yeah. So, and then PWF World Junior Heavyweight Championship match. We got Mr. Saito Naruki Doi versus Dan Tamura. Paul, this is on. So this show, they release the broadcasting info. This show is like a view, but it's in Saitama. Mm-hmm. Do you think Dan's winning here?
I got the feeling as well, because Doi has gotten... Because generally, if you look at like Doi's reigns, since he kind of became a freelancer, they've generally been all... Like his first like reign with this title was around this length, right? Like his Universal title reign in DDT was around that length, so... That generally seems to be like what he wants to do when he holds a title, is like go in there, hold it for like a month or two or three, get a couple of title defenses, and then lose it to someone young, essentially. So yeah. I would expect him to lose to Dan here as well.
Okay. And then on the 13th, the next day, we have another show. It is in, Numazu. And, so we got the All Asia Tag Team match. And this is interesting. We got Musashi and Seki Yoshioka versus Rising Hayato and Yuma Anzai. What do you think?
I mean, again, it's the All Asia title, right? So it's a coin flip. But I definitely, like, we have had a fairly lengthy reign here. And Rising Hayato also, like, I have to be honest, hasn't really done a whole lot recently, right?
No,
he lost the title.
No, he really hasn't.
So I feel like it's about time you give him, like, at least something to do, even if it is this title.
Yeah, for sure. And, well, you probably should give Anzai something.
Yeah, same. Yeah. It's like they're basically you have like your heavyweight ace and your junior ace like in a bit of a holding position at the moment.
Yeah.
So might as well like give them a little bit something to do before you like move them both back into like whenever you want to move both back into like main events.
We got, listen to this, Kurosio Tokyo Japan versus Cyrus. In a way versus Sego.
Actually, you know what I was talking about, right? When they finally do the reverse of like Jiro, like attack Cyrus. I think maybe they're going to do that here, right? They're going to do that in a singles match. Because you have to, because they've been doing it like basically every single time these two have faced off. So I feel like eventually you have to pay that off of doing the reverse of it, essentially.
Yeah, for sure. And then we got Shotaro Shino, Dan Tamura, and David Boy Smith Jr. versus Suwama, Hideki Suzuki, and Hikaru Sato. We got Jun Seto, Rei Seto, Mr. Seto, Naruki Doi, and Senor Seto versus Hokuto Omori, Kuma Arashi, Hartley Jackson, Jack Kennedy. And then we've got a Triple Crown skirmish match, which is Yuma Aoyaki and Kento Miyahara versus Ren Ayabe and Ryuki.
It's two Triple Crown challenges right there.
Yeah. And then, so on the 22nd, they've got a match. They got the show at Korakin, which is also Suwama's 20th anniversary show. And so this is where, Paul, we're going to get Ren Akuma Aoyagi for the Triple Crown. Mm-hmm. we've got the debuting rookies.
Finally.
Yes. I was a little surprised that... Well, no, actually, this is right around the perfect time that they would debut because they entered the dojo last December. So it's Sakuto Terada and Taishin Nagao versus Dan Tama and Ryo Inoue. And that's a really good debut match.
Yeah. Because do you know how long it's been since the last debut? Which would have been Inoue, obviously.
It was January 2022, right?
Yeah. So it's been it's been 2.5 years since they've debuted a rookie. So yeah, long overdue for like some new blood.
I will be curious if they put out a call for the dojo.
I mean, they kind of have to, right? Because as we've been saying, it's a great roster, but a very shallow roster as well. So yeah, I wouldn't be. I feel like they might also be trying to like get some heavyweights in there.
Yeah.
Those two, from what I've seen, they seem rather short. Yeah.
Oh, Paul, they're like 5'5", 5'6".
Yeah, because again, it's Tall Japan, but like the most recent like young Tall Japan guys, like I mean, obviously Anzai. We're stupid, right? Because we both forgot about Anzai.
Oh, Anzai debuted in September 2022.
Yeah, so he was actually after Inoue. We just kind of
forgot that.
Again, he's a former Triple Crown champion. I don't think that's, you know, that, I think it's reasonable that we forget that he's like only 2 years in.
It was 2022, I swear to God, right?
Yeah, it was, because we were still talking about him as like rookie of the year last year.
January 2nd, 2022. That's crazy.
But like, again, like aside from that, like it's Inoue, and then the other like young, like tall guys are both guys they brought in like externally, like Ayabe from JTO and Honda. Yes, they put him back in the dojo, but like, let's be real, like he was like a WrestleOne young boy before he was like, before they basically did the thing that like New Japan did with Okada, where they like briefly like young boyed him and then fast tracked him out of that.
Paul, the most interesting match on the show may be Suwama 20th anniversary tag match. We've got Hideki Suzuki and Shuji Kato versus Suwama and X.
Ooh, I mean,
it's got to be the big dog, right? If you're going to like that.
It's a real idea. It's finally we'll see Violent Giants reunite.
Well, Paul, speaking of Violent Giants, I do have one other thing that we have to address because it didn't go up. It's not up on All AJPW TV yet, but on the Evolution show yesterday, Chihiro Hashimoto, Shuji Ishikawa, and you, Team 333K, defeated Das Chisako and Yankee 2 Kenju to retain the tag team titles. And after the match, Hokuto Gun came out to challenge.
Ooh, that's perfect. That's the perfect title for them, yes.
I feel like they got to be one.
Yeah. No, I very much would think so, because as we were saying, right, like they're these like mid-card goobers, and that's like the perfect like mid-card goober title for them to hold as well.
Now, from my understanding, I think it's Hokuto, Cyrus, Kuma that were there.
I mean, that might make it a little less likely, because if we don't know how long Cyrus is going to hang around. Because it does take like breaks in between Japan trips. But then again, they also aren't like they aren't above just letting these titles disappear for a while as well.
Yeah.
Because if it was Jack Kennedy, who, as far as I know, lives in Japan.
Yeah.
I think they're definitely 100% win, because then they just have it on three guys they can have on like basically every show.
Well, maybe let me double check. I can only find pictures of Hokuto there, but I swear I thought I saw Cyrus, but I don't. So I could be completely off.
I mean, we'll see it when the actual match happens, right? We'll see who it actually will be.
Yeah, I mean, it could be Hokuto Gun's got shirt at the latest development as well. So I suppose they're going to be around for a bit. But they'll probably, like, when the match goes up on AJPW TV, it's not up on the, because it's the six-man titles. They probably will have the post-match and we'll be able to figure it out. But I do think they probably should have Hokuto Gun win those titles, just because I think that's really good for them to do, in all honesty.
Like, it gives them something like concrete to do, right? You can have them like defend the titles against like Naruki Doi, like senior Saito and one of the like actual Saitos. So yeah, like there's like a lot of different, like you can maybe do them, have them defend against Elpida or like Suwama, Hideki, and like Hikaru Sato or something like that. Like there's many different options that you can do with Hokutogon, like holding these belts. So yeah, they definitely should put them on there. They definitely should put these titles on them as well.
But also it's going to be interesting. Like Shuji might be coming back as well too. Funny.
I mean, I hope so.
Yeah. Although he's had a bit of a Shuji-sance of his own this year.
Yeah. I mean, he seemed kind of pissed off and motivated after the whole thing with All Japan went down the way it did.
Yeah. So, I mean, assuming it's him, I really can't see the X being anyone else. That's
no.
Unless it's...
And like it really brings the year full circle.
I was going to say Kojima.
I mean, yeah, the biggest X in history. I mean, look, if it actually is like Kojima and Nakajima, I'm not going to be against that. Like, I'm not going to say no.
No. But yeah.
And it would be a better, more feel-good story if it is Ishikawa.
And Paul, let's just finish off real quickly with... we've talked about it before, but I see more people talking about it and stuff. Kento Miyahara's future. I mean, I'm thinking I don't think he's leaving. I really didn't get that vibe, although I don't think it's impossible. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't bet on it.
I mean, he's definitely doing a lot of jobs.
Yeah. But even if he's staying, at some point you got to do the redemption. You can job too much.
Yeah, he's been losing to everybody. And I mean, I was saying when this whole thing started off, where I was like, I mean, it's Kento Miyahara, he's kind of Teflon, so it's fine. But like, we're getting to a point now where like even Teflon will rub off eventually. So
yeah, I mean, I still maintain to this day they probably jobbed out Tanahashi.
Yeah, too quickly.
Yeah, like
now he can't put like the young guys over that they have now because it doesn't mean anything to beat Tanahashi.
Yeah, like they had Oleg Bolton beat him in that G1 qualifier tournament, and it. Mm-hmm. I mean, as great as Bolton is, it really didn't mean anything for him.
It meant more that he beat Taichi.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is, if you tell that to someone like 10 years ago, they'd have you forcibly committed.
Yeah, totally. So I guess my point is, if Kento is... Look, I'm not going to have a meltdown if Kento leaves. I'm just going to tell people that right now. I'm not going to think like people acted when Okada left New Japan. Only because... Mm-hmm. Kento leaving would allow us in some ways maybe even to see Kento at his maximum potential, like, you know, working much bigger crowds thing, right? Mm-hmm. So I'd be very curious to see him on a bigger stage.
Well, depending where he goes, right?
I suppose so.
If he goes to New Japan, then yes. If he goes to Noah, then it's not necessarily going to be bigger, actually. Well, actually, maybe he will turn their business around. Maybe that's what they need, yeah.
I still think Noah's technically, well, I mean, they're very competitive in a lot of ways, but they have the resources to run like big shows that All Japan simply doesn't.
No, obviously not. No.
So I still would think it is a do that. Anyway, but no, I don't expect it, but they got to do something with Kento. I don't know. He's only 35.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it was very funny when they put him in the like old team with the team that was like Suwama and Hideki Suzuki.
Yeah. I was also surprised that he never beat Vince record.
Oh yeah, true. That's the one thing he hasn't done. Yeah.
Because they had Suwama beat him.
Yeah,
and he never, which was always interesting to me. I don't know if you could do that now, though, because that would require a very long reign, and I don't know.
Well, we were just saying he's done a lot of jobs, right?
Yeah.
So what better way to get all of those back by giving him a really long reign?
Yeah, and that would be the last big one, I suppose.
Probably, yeah. Would you do it with him as a heel, though?
Not for a record-breaking reign, no. If you want to do 6 months as a heel.
I mean, I don't necessarily mean like in like the like voodoo murderous like vein.
No, I know.
Because I know it's kind of trite, but I just, you know, like the comparisons are right there. And I just look at it and I'm like, some of the best business this company ever did was the whole like Jumbo Misawa feud.
Yeah.
If you just make Kento the Jumbo and Anzai is the obvious like Misawa comp, you know, like you could put the title, you could put like Kento as like he's been losing against all of these young guys and everybody's talking about like how Kento's getting left behind, behind the young guys, and he just is like, you know what? Fuck all of you, and just goes grumpy.
Yeah, but if I turn Kento heel, I'd have him beat like Anzai, and not like beat Anzai hard. But like a very strong victory over Anzai type thing. Sort of like I'm still the boss or still the ace type thing.
I mean, what you could do is you could run Yuma versus Yuma Aoyagi versus Yuma Anzai on like December 31st. Or you could do Yuma and Kento there, and that's where Kento basically like, or maybe before the match even turns, and then has like statement win over Yuma Aoyagi.
I would have a heel Kento beat Aoyagi, and then like first defense or second defense beat Anzai convincingly.
Yeah, you could even do that like a couple of days later on the like January Kurikan.
No, because I think you can do another Anzai versus Miyahara match somewhere bigger than Kurikan.
In a bigger building, yeah.
Yeah.
You could do Davey Boy versus Kento. Basically, like, I don't know, they like get out of like the real world tackling and Kento just snaps and like turns on Davey Boy and then challenges Yuma. I know we're getting too much into fantasy booking now, but
yeah. But yeah, I mean, I just think I got to do something with him.
No, like what they're doing right now, definitely, like he's just a bit adrift. I do think they're going to do something with him. Yeah. Like I would be shocked if they're just like de-pushing him now and he's just kind of like an upper mid-carder. Like I think that would be stupid. Like, and they also don't have the roster for that. So I do think something will happen with Kento either before the end of the year or very early next year.
Yeah, right now I'm leaning towards end of the year. It's a perfect time to...
Yeah.
Because given how the end of the year ended for Kento last year, it's probably the right time.
Oh yeah, that's true actually. Yeah. Yeah, he needs a win to some degree because he's been losing for like a year straight basically.
Yeah. So that's that. We'll be back in a little over a week to talk about the most ridiculous show of the year, and we'll talk about the best matches from the Noah UK.
Yeah.
And then we have a little special surprise that has to do with Grace. Yes.
I'm really looking forward to that one.
We'll see you very soon, so take care.
Hey now, it's Mike Gilbert, host of the Mike and JD Show, right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Join JD by God Oliva and myself every Thursday night live on the Voices of Wrestling YouTube channel at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as we stay up all night discussing all the hottest stories in professional wrestling. You can also check us out right here on the Voices of Wrestling podcasting feed, or you can subscribe to the Mike and JD Show feed. Now, enjoy the show.